And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll that is up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I ask a simple question, which would you rather have question, and the question is this: which would you rather have, a daughter of easy virtue or a daughter with no friends at all? Go to my website, brainstormingonline.com, and cast your vote. You'll be able to see the intermediate results as soon as you place your vote, and then I'll announce the overall results later this week. You'll find the survey, the poll, up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is upending the status quo. Each of my guests is discussing his or her topic and how it impacts the status quo. My next guest is the founder and president of High Street Partners, a company that sets up and supports clients in their overseas locations. We'll discuss the least well-known of the BRIC countries, Brazil. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you have a question about Brazil, you can call us at 639-0008. Larry Harding founded High Street Partners back in 2004, and he serves as the president today. Prior to founding High Street Partners, Larry served as vice president of international finance for Ciena Corporation, a multinational supplier of telecommunications equipment. Before joining Ciena, Larry was at various senior executive positions, including serving as the CFO of Omnia Communications and as the corporate controller for VideoServer, which he helped to complete the company's successful IPO. Larry is frequently referenced as an expert resource for international trends in publications like The Wall Street Journal and CFO Magazine. Larry was named as a finalist in the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2010, and Larry became a licensed CPA in Massachusetts. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Economics with a dual major in Finance and Accounting from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Joining us from Annapolis, Maryland. Hi, Larry. How are you today?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, I'm terrific. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being our guest. You are truly one of the country's leaders when it comes to international operations, and in particular, Brazil. So I want to start there, because you're on record as saying, to some degree, Brazil has snuck up on people. It has got a real strong, stable government, and it's a huge, vibrant, growing market that's just dominating South America. And as I said at the outset, Brazil is the least well-known of the BRIC countries. BRIC is an acronym that stands for Brazil, Russia, India, and China. So how does a company the size of Brazil, with an economy considered one of the fastest growing economies in the world, how does that sneak up on the business world?
It's a great question, and I think the best way to think about it is it's been fairly well publicized for at least the last 10 plus years that those somewhat more familiar countries that more Americans, you know about, many, many U.S. companies have gone over to China or India or Russia and gone and done things. But for many reasons, most of them really explainable, a lot of American companies have been much more hesitant to expand and open up in a market like Brazil than they have the other three, more high-profile players from a U.S. international business perspective. The biggest reasons for that probably relate to, you know, until about 10 years ago, stability was something that Brazil had found elusive from an economic perspective for decades and decades. Whether it was, hyperinflation type elements or currency risks or political instability or markets that were just closed for the types of things that U.S. companies tended to specialize in, it was a place that always was known to be the dominant country in South America, but not a place that many U.S. companies ever thought or expected they might be able to find some success in.
All right, my guest is Larry Harding. And Larry, we talk about Brazil. Brazil has been an emerging market my entire adult working life. I mean, it's wealthy resources. It has a very educated population. And now, as you pointed out, it has a stable government and a stable economy. Why is Brazil still considered an emerging market today, even after 30-plus years of, quote-unquote, emerging?
Yeah, that does seem to defy the term they're emerging, but I think it is still relevant in the sense that it's not a mature, developed market. So when I think of something that fits into that category, you know, the European Union or Japan or Singapore or Canada, obviously, places that have been stable for decades and decades, but also have sort of the full gamut of all the different market elements. in the case of Brazil, it really, you know, even though we are now moving into the second decade of relative stability, that's still fairly recent to finally have achieved some level of stability. It's still emerging, though, I think largely because it's so big and dominant, and it's glorious in things like natural resources and commodities and, you know, wood, timber, a lot of the basics. But, for example, it's not yet a well-developed technology location. So all the different places that high-tech companies go, which I know is so important out in California, you know, they really have never done much. Even now, down in a place like Brazil, it's a bit of an imbalanced economy. But with, you know, stability comes an emerging middle class, and they're blessed with the types of resources that they have. What is going to happen is it's going to move out of its emerging stage and become more of a full A to Z type economy that is strong and dominant in everything rather than just sort of the early few.
My guest is Larry Harding. He's the CEO of High Street Partners. Larry, what is it that makes things different today in 2012 where Brazil has the possibility of reaching its full potential?
A handful of different things. So, you know, having not just stability, but having it be stable for a long period of time is so important. So, you know, every year, every quarter even, that you can have your currency in a predictable range and have inflation under control and have, you know, debt as a percentage of GDP under control, they allow that to tend to happen. The other things are just sort of the byproduct that happens. So, you know, as the economy is good for years and years, people focus on inward investment. So laws are changed to take advantage of a boom that's out there. You know, just like India and China have done, making it simpler and easier for foreign companies to come in and enter your market and provide the goods and services that the economy needs and wants. You know, even from beginning to do and take on higher profile things. So it was immeasurably important, for example, that Brazil won the Olympics coming up. I mean, that's just a fabulous step forward for the entire country and its economy to have that sort of world event going to be played out on a stage. They also have the World Cup coming. I mean, those are sort of the two crown jewels of you know, global sports and athletics. And that just becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. People decide to maybe go there and take in an event, or they watch it on TV and they learn a little bit more about the country and they decide to, you know, hey, maybe I'm going to expand there. And it's really sort of builds off of their own things.
My guest is Larry Harding. So, Larry, real estate mogul Sam Zell calls Brazil the best country in the world in which to do business. Now, I'm certainly not going to go against Sam Zell. He's far more successful than I am. But what makes Zell so confident that Brazil is the best country in the world to do business in?
That's an interesting statement. I'll never be as successful as Sam Zell either, but I'm not quite sure I'd fall totally into lockstep with that.
Okay.
I would almost bifurcate that statement in two different ways. And for one element, I'm sure it's correct in terms of, you know, the upside potential and enormity and dominance and all of the different things that they need. I do think one of the things that puts them still in the emerging category and where progress does need to be made really is in effectively making it easier, you know, to administratively do business there. You know, I talk with clients about an alphabet soup of different types of federal and municipal and local and city and state taxation. It's probably more cumbersome to figure out all the different taxes that are going to impact the transaction and the filings that have to happen. But it's going to change, just like it's changed in China and India and so many other places. You know, in fact, for an interesting comparison, you know, that the easiest countries to do business in are probably, I don't know, Hong Kong and Singapore. The U.S. has a ways to go to
yes.
make itself easier to do business in from that sort of administrative and compliance level. But I think, you know, Mr. Zell's point, I believe probably what he's referencing is just the dominance and extraordinary nature of that country as a market. It's just so big and blessed with natural resources and has so much it's going to be able to do and is able to do. I think that's probably what he's referring to.
My guest is Larry Harding, CEO of High Street Partners. Larry, let me just reel off some facts and statistics for listeners to get an idea of the enormity of the opportunity down there. Brazil shares borders with every South American country except for Chile and Ecuador. It is the fifth largest population in the world. It has the seventh largest consumer market in the world. Brazil's gross domestic product is the eighth highest in the world, and it's a leader in the production of iron ore. It's a leading producer and exporter of coffee, sugar, and fruit juices. It's the largest exporter of soybeans, beef, chicken, and leather. And kind of to a point that you mentioned earlier about technology, it's expected to be the third largest market for PCs in the world. It's the third largest cosmetic market, and it's the fourth largest destination of foreign direct investment, companies investing in the country. So the enormity of the opportunity is certainly there. But things that have plagued Brazil in the past, Larry, has always been this bugaboo about inflation. Now, you mentioned we're entering in our second decade of economic stability. But just to refresh people's memory, the Brazilian real has been extraordinarily volatile. In the 1960s, there was a period of continual inflation. In 1986, inflation reached 500%, but that wasn't the highest point. In 1990, inflation reached a record 2,398%. So what measures are in place today that have really curbed and controlled the inflation that Brazil has experienced in the past?
Well, you certainly lift up the Billy the Brain terminology there. That is an incredibly impressive wealth of facts there, and it really reinforces all of the strength. The way Brazil went about reining in inflation was really sort of the old tried and true approach. For a period of many years, they had a very high interest rate compared to the countries around them. Compared to what sort of the market expectations would have been for a country of its type. But there really are two things: basic blocking and tackling stuff that any country needs to do to get its inflation under control. One is to have, high interest rates, and the other one is to sort of focus on the debt to GDP levels. In many, many ways, how the U.S. got out of the, inflation cycle it was in the late 70s was the exact same thing. Very high interest rate. I think we hit 20-something percent at its height. So high interest rates over time begin to sort of rein things in. And then once there's a market perception that inflation stability, is there, it's the commitment of the government and the central bank, used the term earlier, that does become its own self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of setting the expectations, and that's how things begin to get under control. So I'd love to say there was a magic bullet that worked there and can work other places, but it really was sort of the same, at times painful, basics that they undertook to rein in their inflation. But they pulled off something that many, many, many people said could never be done.
My guest is Larry Harding. He's the CEO of High Street Partners. Larry, Brazil's economy has historically been tied to export commodities, their woods, their hardwoods, livestock, sugar, gold, rubber, coffee. In what ways was this export-driven economy sort of a cause for the economic cycles that Brazil had and also for the high inflation?
Well, I'm not sure the export-oriented economy itself was as much of a cause as some other things. They've always, I guess, the best way to think about it is why it didn't develop earlier was probably because there wasn't as much of a need as in places that don't have sort of those natural blessings. They could sort of get away with being, strong enough without maybe focusing on making it easy to do business there or getting, taking some bitter medicine with currency controls, inflation risks, and debt levels. So their blessing, I guess, was to some degree a bit of a curse. But what we're beginning to see now is if you can take a country with that level of natural resources and begin to have more developed world, discipline and economic help, boy, you can really build an amazing, superpower. From an economic perspective.
All right. So, Larry, it begs the bigger question. What are some of the greatest challenges that foreign companies face when they're moving into Brazil to do business for the first time?
They're a handful. So it's a great, enormous market. It is still a little bit administratively complex. I think it's surprisingly far away for most of us in America. When I've gone down there, it's a 9-hour flight after I connect in Miami. So it's really far away. You know, there are cultural and language differences that exist in many places that are hurdles there. A lot of the different markets that U.S. companies, you know, serve best in have not been developed most recently. You know, a lot of countries that are more natural resource focused have an easier time going there versus, for example, I brought it up, technology companies. The markets aren't yet as fully developed, so there's some, you know, risk taking on the part of folks going there. It's sort of taking a flyer. We think this is going to work, but there's not 20 years of sustained success that we can point to. Probably a little an overlooked factor a little bit. There aren't as many, you know, lawyers, accountants, CEOs, VPs of sales, VP of engineering who have experience in the Brazilian market. It's very, very easy to find all those different types of providers who know China like the back of their hand or Europe like the back of their hand. There are just less numbers of people who have that level of expertise to help you related to Brazil. And that, you know, that's a factor in making things a little challenging.
Right.
Most of the risks that were there before, you know, are getting better, but there are still folks out there who, when they think of Brazil, think hyperinflation, and the fact that it hasn't existed for 10 years isn't going to change their opinion.
My guest has been Larry Harding. He's the CEO of High Street Partners. Larry, clearly you know a lot about Brazil. You know a lot about these markets outside of the United States. If people are intrigued by what they hear and they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about High Street Partners, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The best place to start would probably be our company website, www.hsp.com. From there, they can, you know, sort of see what we've done, who we work with. They can, you know, send us any questions. We follow up. We use the information and leads coming from the website all the time. And our job is to sort of, you know, educate the market as much as possible. And that sort of helps us become an effective provider. So website's always a great way to reach us.
And that website is hsp.com for High Street Partners. Larry, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Take care.